I got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat?
To the final hour of our broadcast wake. Let's get right into the big lead.
The big lead. I told you so.
Yes, a couple of years ago, I said this was coming. Everybody said, no, Dari, come on. That's never going to happen. In our state now, we have told kids that if you want to play high school sports, you can play for whichever team you identify with. You identify as a girl, you can play on the girls' team. You don't have to have any physical transitioning going on. And as a longtime girls' high school coach, I will tell you that this will eventually tear apart girls' sports. We've worked really hard with Title IX, and just with societal attitudes. We've worked real hard to get equality for girls in sports opportunities. And I think it's been a very worthwhile endeavor, because for both boys and girls, if you participate, not just in sports, but if you participate in extracurricular school activities, whether it be choir, drama, orchestra, basketball, soccer, you name it. You participate in extracurricular activities, the graduation rate is higher, the pregnancy rate is lower, you're just more involved. You have a support group around you, too. You know, high school can be tough, and there are a lot of mean kids. And we've, you know, certainly had more than our share of bullying stories. But if you are part of a team, sports or otherwise, you have this support group around you, and you have kids you can fall back on, and kids who help hold you accountable. And on New Year's Eve, when a lot of kids are tempted to go out and party, you know, if you're on the basketball team, you know that if you are just in the presence of alcohol or other drugs, and you don't remove yourself immediately, you can be suspended. And that not only screws up your ability to participate, but screws up your team. It's, you know, it's a bummer for coaches. And I know some coaches. I never had this problem. But I know some coaches who lost star players in the middle of basketball season because they were partying on New Year's Eve. And so anyway, extracurricular activities is a good thing. And things that are going to eventually destroy girls' sports are a horrible thing. And I bring this up because in Connecticut, the 1-2 finishers in the state girls 100 meters are both biological boys. And in fact, one of the kids broke the girls' state record in the 100. And this kid, named Selena Soule, Selena was interviewed. And in the interview, you clearly see for a, and I don't know if Selena did this interview last year in ninth grade or this year in 10th grade, but this kid clearly has a mustache. And in every way, biologically, this kid is a boy. You can see, and the arms are cut, the muscles are large. And as this kid's running down the track, and I saw the video of the 1-2 finishers, and there are a bunch of, you know, girls running against a couple of biological boys. And it is so incredibly unfair. But in our culture of political correctness, the other kids say, well, I'm just glad they can be who and what they want to be. But you work your whole life to be an outstanding girls athlete, and then you get to having the opportunity to win a state championship, and a couple of biological boys outfinish you in the state track meet. So here is Selena Soule, the mustached kid, who explains when she began to identify as a female.
I guess it all kind of started in about first grade or kindergarten. When I remember one year for Halloween, I wore Cinderella dress. I remember that.
Okay, and the dad is supportive of this kid competing and living as a female. And by the way, I couldn't care less if a kid wants to live as a female, if a biological boy wants to live as a female. But when you have, and, you know, in every track event, you look at the record books, in every single track event, the men's record is faster or further than, you know, whether it's a throwing event or a running event. In every event, the men's record is better in objective timing or distance than the women's records. And that's because men have a tremendous physical, biological advantage. And to put girls on the track against biological boys who have done nothing to transition, still have male testosterone levels, they've done nothing to physically transition, it is grossly unfair. I couldn't care less if these kids want to live as girls, but to let them compete in girls' sports is insanity. It's insanity. Here's the dad of this kid.
You know, we're born into a body. We're born into a situation, but we grow into a person we're going to be. So someone says, why is your daughter running with the girls? They say, because she's my daughter, much like the reason your daughter's running with the girls. And she's running exactly where she should be running.
Wrong. Wrong. I know that a boys C team basketball team will beat the girls varsity at most schools. And I would often have my girls scrimmage against our boys JV or C team because the boys jump higher, they run faster, they're just quicker. And it was good for my girls to scrimmage, my varsity, to scrimmage against the boys JV or C's. But there's such a physical disparity that if we have more kids, and now here you have a state where biological boys finished 1-2. And for the kid, you know, the medalist here, Selena, Selena says that everybody's been very supportive.
So I'm glad that now in ninth grade, I'm able to do this. I'm able to hear my name on the attendance, Andrea, and have people call me her and she pronouns, which is an amazing feeling compared to last year people didn't.
And I'm happy for the kid. There's just no way that kid should be able to run track against the girls.
I always tell people.
Here's the mom. Here's the mom of this kid.
I always tell people, for me, the decision to be supportive was easy, right? Because, you know, she can be whoever she wants to be. But what she won't be is suicidal. She won't be an addict. She won't be, you know, dependent on other ways to make her feel good. She needs to be herself. And if that means that I support her in her transition as a transgender female, then that's what I do as a parent.
And all well and good. But it is insane to let biological boys compete in sports against girls. And it will eventually lead to the destruction of girls' sports. And again, you have a girls' team. My reference point is basketball. If you work hard through AAU ball and you start developing into a terrific high school girls' athlete, you know, when you're in elementary school, you start working for that. You know, you play year-round. You maybe have individual coaching along with the select ball that you play in the fall and in the spring and in the summertime. And you just work hard, and you get an opportunity because I'm telling you, there's outside of family stuff, there is nothing in my life that has ever been more thrilling than winning a state championship. It is the best feeling because it's a goal you set, you strive for. And if we had run into a team that we were better than, but they have one or two biological boys, If they had, 6'4" biological boy who could jump out of the gym, and if that's what derails a team from the, most joyful experience you can possibly imagine, it's just patently unfair. And it's all in the name of political correctness that we're seeing this happen around the country. And let me give you one other story, kind of along the same lines. Lawyers are representing a parent who has told a judge that this is a person who got pregnant, had a baby, but the person says that I don't identify as a woman, and so the person wants to be identified as the child's father on the birth certificate, even though this person delivered the baby through her female genitalia, or through their female genitalia. And this is where we get to, being accepting, which I believe we should be. But you have to draw, men cannot have a baby. It is physically impossible for a man to have a baby. And so to list the person who carries and delivers the baby through female genitalia, to list that person as the father on the child's birth certificate is insane. And there's a difference between being accepting and saying, look, you want to live your life as a woman, or you want to live your life as a man, even if you biologically are not. Couldn't care less, none of my business. But I'm not going to call somebody who delivers a baby a man, because that it's impossible. And I'm not going to just talk foolish, gibberish nonsense on the show. If you deliver a baby, you are not a man. And yet, that's where we are, because in the name of political correctness, we're supposed to do this now. And so we're seeing it in high school track. We're seeing it on birth certificate documents. And the beat goes on in our really interesting world. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
Yesterday was one of the most evil days, because we've had a lot of crazy political days locally. Yesterday was one of the most evil days in local political history. I went home last night. I watched the video that I missed because I was on the air yesterday afternoon. But I watched the city council meeting. They are planning to put these heroin death vans now, because federal law does not allow a heroin death brick and mortar site. So the Seattle City Council's latest idea is, well, let's just do it in a van, a big RV. We'll spend $380,000. And what I said earlier is, why don't they just stick some government worker in the heroin RVs that are all around the city and just watch people inject, which is what they're going to do in this van. Teresa Mosqueda on the Seattle City Council is nuts. And after watching this meeting yesterday, she and council member Deborah Juarez, and then the craziest of all is Sally Bagshaw. I'll get to that in a second. But here's Teresa Mosqueda.
I also think that if we have a known amount for the purchase of a van, potentially being $350,000, that we should move forward with the purchase of that van as we engage with the community about the possible location. And with a reminder that it would be a fixed location. If those dollars are in hand right now, and if I'm reading the information correctly, if that is the most cost-effective and most expedient way for us to create a potential site, I would like to register, in addition to wanting to have the dollars to move forward so that we could either purchase our own property and build brick and mortar. If that's not an option right now, then I would like us to get this van in hand.
So that's what they want to do. They want to have a heroin van in the city where people can inject. Deborah Juarez, she says she's tired of people disagreeing about the location and not wanting it in their neighborhood.
A particular group of people shows up at every one of my community meetings to come at me over that. And I, you can only do so much.
I want to know, Deborah Juarez, why don't you put these heroin death vans in your driveway? You know, if people are upset and you're so thrilled to put it in other people's neighborhood, why don't you say, I'll step up and we'll put the death van in my driveway? But here is the craziest of all. Sally Bagshaw, who worked feverishly to keep an almost certain child rapist in the mayor's office, a child rape enabler on the city council. Sally Bagshaw, she wants to look into the taxpayers buying the heroin for the users. It's really incredible.
I have heard of some other models where the drugs are provided, and it's a public safety model, mm-hmm. because those who may not have the money to buy drugs are not breaking and entering to obtain whatever they need to buy, mm-hmm. Whatever it is they're using. So I would like to be able to just explore this. And not to say we're going to land anywhere on the issues, but part of what we're trying to do is to reduce crime as well.
I oftentimes hesitate to talk about just because people begin to conflate these things.
Yeah, and you can see the headline tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, the headline is Sally Bagshaw wants to look into having taxpayers purchase heroin for people who are killing themselves with the drug. That is the headline, Sally Bagshaw, and you wanting to explore it is evil. It is pure evil. Of course, every heroin addict in the United States of America is going to come flocking to the Puget Sound area. If the word is out, then not only will I not get arrested if I'm caught with heroin, but government would buy it for me. You don't think that every addict in the country, which is what they want, every heroin addict in the country to come here. Because then they can talk about how bad the crime is and how bad the homelessness is, and we need to raise taxes to deal with those issues. This is about money. It is about them expanding government. And I loved, if you weren't listening a couple of hours ago, one of my listeners texted me and said, hey, on this heroin death van, are they going to drive around using the Popsicle Joe music? You know, like when I was a kid and you could hear the song from blocks away and you'd look at your friend, Popsicle Joe, Popsicle Joe, and you'd go run, find the ice cream truck. Are the junkies going to hear the music? The heroin van, the heroin van. And they're going to go running. And I had lots of listeners who played music for me or wrote lyrics because, you know, it was Pop Goes the Weasel. Was the big song back then. Round and round the poppy bush, the junkie chased the needle. The junkie thought 'twas all in fun. Pop goes the needle. That was my first attempt at the lyrics a couple of hours ago. But I've had listeners send in lots of better ones. The death van drives all over the town. Thanks to council weasels, the junkies flock to shoot up their drugs. Pop goes the needle. I'm pitchy. I'm so pitchy. Let's see. What's the other one somebody sent me here? Janet. Round and round the poppy bush. Junkies chase the needle. Push the plunger until it stops. Getting high is now legal. Oh, yes. Seattle. It's the land of plenty. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We're going to check the news for you, and then we're going to count down our favorite sound bites of the entire week. Coming up next.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio. Clips of the Week.
Oh, it is a good batch, too, of Awesome Audio of the Week. Number three, we found out a guy who was on my show about 20 years ago when he first launched this crazy idea of nudicles. They are silicone artificial testicles for dogs that have been neutered. And I thought he wasn't going to go anywhere. Well, he was on CNBC this week, and he's a multi-millionaire. He has sold 500,000 pairs of nudicles at about $300 each to people who want their dogs to look intact even after they've been neutered. And at one point, Greg Miller was asked, come on. Do the dogs really care?
Number three.
Yes, they do.
when Buck did get neutered that fateful day, I brought him home. He went to clean himself. He loved to do that. The slurping noise that was so freaking obnoxious. He looked down and saw that they were gone. He was telling me, they're gone. What happened?
And he saw an opportunity and has gotten rich. At number two, this was really cool. Last night, the Washington Capitals won the Stanley Cup. And one of the players on the team is a kid named TJ Oshie, who grew up in Mount Vernon, played junior hockey in Mount Lake Terrace. I mean, he's a local kid. And a few years ago, his dad was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And Channel 4, ComoNews.com, they talked with TJ Oshie's dad, Tim, when the Stanley Cup playoff started.
Number two.
It's been a tough ride, but through that, he's helped me, you know, keep going.
And last night, his son won the Stanley Cup, and the on-ice tribute to his dad was absolutely beautiful.
My dad, he doesn't... He doesn't remember a lot of stuff these days. He remembers enough. But I tell you what, he's here tonight. I don't know where he's at. But this one will stick with him forever. You can guarantee that.
Really cool story. And at number one, speaking of really cool stories, a listener named Diane was really upset a couple of days ago when Ursula disagreed with me about something on the show. And Nicole didn't really disagree with me, but she thought Nicole did. And so Diane called Ursula's voicemail and then called our program director. And oh, gosh, did we enjoy this.
Number one.
I just heard you say to Dory, you know, no, not everybody thinks the way you do. Hey, you know, this guy is your boss. This is the guy who made this program that you came on, okay? You didn't make it. He did, and the success of it. How damn stupid.
Oh, thank you so much, Diane. And then she called, you know, that was to Ursula's voicemail, but she had a little wrath for Nicole, too.
Get real, Ursula, and I will go on until I'm cut off about this because I am so peeved at you and that idiot producer, you know, overnight successes who don't go, you know, for 15 years and get the material and get the knowledge and the expertise that come in as so-called producers and they think because they have a title, they know everything. And quit saying these things to Dory just because Dory... And everything you say so doesn't mean, hey, he's the one running that show, and he's the one we're tuning in and listening to his opinion. And I don't hear you going after any city council or anybody or anything. I don't hear that. You're a pacifist is what you are.
I'm so torn because she loves me, and I love that she loves me, but I love you guys, and I don't know which side I'm on this one.
Oh, you're considering her side?
Today's Side is coming up next. And down the stretch we come. What a week, what a show, what a week. Lots more still to get to in today's edition of...
Today's Sign that the end is near.
Today's Sign the world is soon coming to an end. Dateline Dartmouth University. They just did a big study there of 4,400 students, and they determined that the Democrats on campus are the most intolerant people on campus. According to this Dartmouth study, 82% of the students who identified as Democrats said they would be less likely to date someone with opposing political beliefs. Only 47% of independents and only 42% of Republicans agreed. So independents and Republicans would be open to dating people with different political beliefs. But the Democratic kids, no way. 55% of the Democratic respondents said opposite political views would negatively affect their chances of being friends with another student. Only 12% of Republicans said the same thing. Women were less likely to say they would date someone of opposite political views. 83% of women said they would be less likely to date someone with opposing political stances. Only 56% of men said that. So Democratic women in particular, in this one Dartmouth study, were the most intolerant people on campus. Now, this is not a surprise. I mean, anybody who lives life has experienced the same thing. And certainly doing a talk show and throwing my opinions out there. And believe it or not, I have some opinions that conservatives disagree with on my show. And when they contact me, it's always, I disagree with your position on this. Here's why. When I say stuff that liberals disagree with, it is, I hate you because you don't think like me. In general. Certainly there are exceptions to both of those, but it tends to be, I disagree with you, therefore I hate you, when it's the left. And the study seems to indicate the same thing. And it's interesting, too, because a lot of my close friends are very different from me politically, but I don't talk politics off the air. It's not a factor. I couldn't care less. When I hire people on this show, like when Nicole was applying for the producer job, never once did it come up, what are your politics? I didn't care. I had no idea. It wasn't important to me. All I care about with coworkers, and especially people who work on the show, is how hard a worker are you? It's not important to me that other people think like me. Now, I throw my opinion out. The world would be a better place if everybody thought like me. I mean, let's face it. But so anyway, this Dartmouth study confirms what real life experience would indicate. And here's another example of it. Today's science story number two. A white professor at Rutgers University went on an absolutely racist rant against white kids. He went to some burger place in Harlem. And then Professor James Livingston went on Facebook. He has since deleted his rant. But here's what he wrote. Okay, officially, I now hate white people. I am a white people, for God's sakes. But can we keep them, us, out of my neighborhood? I just went to Harlem Shake on 124th and Lenox for a classic burger to go. That would be my dinner. And the place is overrun with little Caucasian a-holes. I'm going to have to bleep a lot of his rant here. The place is overrun with little Caucasian a-holes who know their parents will approve of anything they do. Slide around the floor, you little S-head. Sing loudly, you moron. Do what you want. Nobody here is going to restrict your right to be white. I hereby resign from my race. F these people. Yeah, I know it's about access to my dinner. F you too. Well, the owners of that burger place, they said, we cherish diversity within our ownership, staff, and customers. We refuse to be sucked into your racist rant. So if you want to name drop a burger place, don't use ours. And they've banned this guy from their restaurant now. And Rutgers University has also released a statement saying that they condemn racism of all kinds. But I will tell you, if he said that about any other race or skin color, he'd be fired. A college professor goes on a rant, calling little children those horrible expletives. But that's the world of academia these days. And finally, in today's Science, Steve Harvey is in all kinds of trouble because he was talking about the Golden State Warriors, but he used one particular word to describe these NBA players.
What's your issue with the Golden State Warriors? Anything you can do to derail them?
No, you can't stop them. You got to outscore them. You can't stop all them boys. They got too many gorillas on the team. They coming to play, man. They got 800-pound gorillas on their team. So they coming to play. Look, Steve.
Oh, Steve Harvey called the Golden State Warriors players gorillas. And he's getting all kinds of, you know, criticism for that. He didn't mean anything by it. And the fact of the matter is, nothing's going to happen to Steve Harvey, nor should anything happen to Steve Harvey, because he didn't mean anything negative. He wasn't comparing African Americans to gorillas. He was just using a phrase. But the fact of the matter is, if some white person said what he said, they would be drummed out of every gig they have. I'll give you an example. Howard Cosell, when he was talking about a Washington Redskins player who was very elusive, and he said something along the lines of, look at that little monkey run. It was an African-American player. Now, Howard Cosell was what? I mean, he drew so much fire from white America back in the 60s because he befriended and championed Jackie Robinson. He stood by Muhammad Ali when Ali refused to enter the draft and when a lot of white America hated Muhammad Ali. I mean, he changed his name from his slave name, Cassius Clay, to Muhammad Ali. And it's hard to imagine now because Ali died a pretty universally beloved person. But back in the 60s, a lot of America hated him. And Howard Cosell stood by him. Howard Cosell is about the least racist person. Not the least racist. He championed blacks in America at a time when it was not a popular stance to take. You know, during the civil rights era of the early to mid-60s. And Howard Cosell got drummed out of broadcasting for calling a player who was an elusive runner a little monkey. By the way, do we have any gorilla music by any chance? There we go. So Howard Cosell got drummed out of broadcasting for something that was not intended to be racist. Steve Harvey, nothing's going to happen to him. And again, nothing should happen to Steve Harvey, but nothing should have happened to Howard Cosell either. The double standard continues. I want to thank you once again for being part of the greatest listening audience in all of talk radio. Once again this week, we had lots of exclusive stories based on tips from our listeners. You help make this show, well, you do. You are the reason this show achieves the success that it has. So thank you. I hope you have an absolutely fantastic weekend. I gotta get out of here. I have said everything I have to say for this week. But I will think up a bunch of new stuff over the weekend for when we reconvene on Monday. Ron and Don coming up next. And I will see you back here Monday. I know.
Look, your act is about as fresh as a Foghat concert.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.